Yeah.
Okay. Join us and sing.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Hallelujah.
Thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Revive us again.
A thousand tongues to sing.
For a thousand tongues to sing. My great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues implore. Give blind, behold, your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy. Glory to God. Saints below and saints above, the church in earth and
One more song for you. It's called the Compassion Hymn. We'll come back to you.
There is an everlasting kindness you lavish on us when the sheep without a shepherd to lead their distress. For your streams of forgiveness and the shade of your rest. And with compassion for the hurting, you reached out your hand as a lame ran to meet you. Saw behind the eyes of sorrow and shed in our tears. Heard the sigh of the weary, let the children draw near. What boundless love, what fathomless grace you have shown us, O Lord of compassion. Each day we live an offering of praise as we show to the world your compassion. We stood beneath the cross of Calvary and gazed on your face at the thorns of oppression and the wounds of disgrace. For surely you have borne our suffering and carried our grief as you pardon the scoffer and show grace to the thief. What boundless love, what fathomless grace you have shown us, O Lord of compassion. Each day we live an offering of praise as we show to the world your compassion. This gospel of peace to the fields of injustice and the valleys of need, to be a voice of hope and healing, to answer the cries of the hungry and helpless with the mercy of Christ. What boundless love, what fathomless grace you have shown us, O God of compassion. each day we live, an offering of praise as we show to the world your compassion.
Christine, can I? Thank you. All right. Well, good morning. Can you hear me any better this way? All right. Hopefully that will continue on. We do want to welcome you onto our campus, onto our church facilities today for our regathering weekend. As we have a service here at 9 o'clock, then one at 10:30. We have people joining us online. You can also listen into the sermon on our Facebook and YouTube websites. If you see the announcement sheet that was made available to you this morning, catch up on a couple of things. A number have asked how our church finances are doing, and there's some figures there. We have been tracking very well, especially considered to many organizations that are challenged at this time. Dropped off just a little last week. Let me encourage you over the next couple of weeks, these be catch-up weeks for many of us who have been gone. And as we continue to meet the financial needs of our church, our head is definitely above water. We're not going under, and there is much to praise God about. Just a couple of days ago, I received word from the Connection Church Connection Group that is part of the Lilly Foundation. Our church applied for a grant over the last couple months. We worked hard on it, and just a couple days ago, we received word that we've been approved for a full grant of $5,000. It's 90% grant, 10% investment by the church that will allow us to expand and improve our live stream capabilities and connect into what equipment we have. That is exciting news for us as we continue to strengthen and broaden the ministry here. Let me add to you a couple things to your praise and prayer list. We do rejoice with the Stiles and Odom families who recently welcomed new additions, new babies into their home, having babies over the last couple weeks. Be praying for Michaela. She had gallbladder surgery and is hopefully being able to come home today. Be praying for her in her time of recovery. I invite you to join me in Mark chapter 6 this morning. Mark chapter 6. We have been in this passage up until the health challenge hit and taken a short break in that to deal with some of the subject matters that are on everybody's heart. So we're going to get back into Mark 6 today. The title of our study is No Time for a Shutdown. You look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is no time for a shutdown. Join me in Mark 6. Where we left off last time was verse 1 through 6. And let's start reading in verse 1 to kind of get our minds around this passage. Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, Nazareth, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue, and the many listeners were astonished. Where did this man get these things? Where is his wisdom? The miracles that he is performing, how is that possible? This is just the kid next door, the kid down the street. We certainly did not see this coming. Is this not the carpenter's son, the brother of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon, not his sisters with us? And they took offense at Jesus. We find that statement a very familiar proverb in that day. A prophet is without honor in his hometown. And Jesus did very few miracles and demonstrations of his power in his hometown. We pick up the study again in verse 6. Jesus wondered at their unbelief, but he kept on going teaching. And he summoned the 12, and he began to send them out in pairs and give them authority over the unclean spirits. He instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals. Do not take two tunics. Wherever you enter a house, verse 10, stay there until you leave town. Any place that does not receive you or listen to you, as you go out from there, shake the dust off the soles of your feet for a testimony against them. They went out and preached that men should repent. They were casting out demons, anointing with oil many sick and healing them. Then we drop into verse 30. They come back from their internship, their short-term mission. They gathered together with Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. This is no time for a shutdown. You see, the mission of Jesus never shuts down. As each of us come to the scriptures today, we learn, we discover that we each have a life mission. We each have a life mission. You have a mission. You have a mission. And I have a mission. There's a universal aspect for each of our missions, and that is to mirror the mission of Jesus Christ. Our mission will have some unique details to it. Yours will be different than his. Yours will be different than mine in some of the details. But ultimately, our mission is to mirror, reflect, duplicate as much as possible from a human perspective the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has created you to do some specifics for his kingdom that he has not designed anybody else on the planet to do. Our mission details committed to us are unique and different, but the whole overall grasp, the whole overall target is to duplicate the mission of the Lord Jesus. And here we have the opportunity today to move forward in what matters most for you, in what matters most for the world. As we begin in verse 1, we quickly discern that there is no parade planned for the hometown hero. In fact, Nazareth does not see Jesus as a hero. Actually, it's more like he's a zero. So how does Jesus handle the negative feedback? What can we learn about that as we move through our life and go through the ups and the downs and the ins and outs of life and the responses that we get, especially when it comes to following God and obeying God? What can we learn? Should we slow down, shut down, stay down when we experience hostile rejection or ambivalent indifference over our spiritual commitment? We watch and we learn from the Master. His feet are the feet that we want to step in. His shoe prints are the ones that we follow. What he does in mission success is what we want to duplicate in our lives. And here we see the seeds of mission success that will come to fruition, that will come to bloom in the book of Acts, and then throughout all the epistles of the New Testament, the seeds of mission success being planted here. And here are illustrated for us three principles for God's work to be done today and have God's success. Three principles for us. Let's look at them. Principle number one. Principle number one involves teaching. Key word, teaching. The teaching of what? Truth. What kind of truth? Authoritative truth. The teaching of authoritative truth, the teaching of God's word, is our unrelenting, driving priority. The priority that we have as a church, the priority that each of us has as followers of Jesus Christ, is the teaching of God's truth. Jesus kept on teaching, going from village to village to village. And a closed heart and rejecting hearts were not the end of the story. They were just redirecting to other open doors and other soft hearts. The teaching of truth, of God's truth, is our ultimate priority. Everything and everyone comes under the scrutiny of God's word. That is challenging. It is also comforting, and it gives us hope. Perhaps as you've watched life unfold before you in recent days, you've seen things, you've experienced things, and the thought that goes through your mind is, that's not right. That's not fair. That's not God's idea. Where's the justice? Where's the righteousness? The word of God reminds all of us that God will make all things right. God holds everyone accountable for their actions and for their deeds. That gives me comfort and peace in a sin-cursed world. But it also challenges me. If I'm going to stand before a holy and a righteous God and receive justice, I'm in trouble, and the word of God tells me you're in trouble. And we desperately need what God offers to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, his mercy. And this morning I would ask you, have you received his mercy by coming to the cross, admitting your guilt, receiving the full pardon of salvation? And then are we living a life of peace for God every day? The word of God gives us hope. Hope when we've been wronged. Hope when we've wronged others. There is a solution for anyone and for everyone when the word of God is applied to our life. The teaching of truth, the teaching of God's word, must be our ultimate priority. So we must be truth surrendered. We must be surrendered to God's truth in our life mission. As we look at Jesus' activity in verse 6, we notice that it is very active. The verse there tells us he kept going, he kept going, he kept going, kept teaching the word, going from this town to that town to another town, teaching the word of God. Very active, very hands-on, doing, doing, doing. There is a doing active nature to our walk with God. There's a doing active nature when it comes to truth. A first priority in our life must be getting the truth in us. How long will that take? A lifetime. None of us know it all. We need to keep coming back to the Word of God every day, every week, together as the body of Christ. A first priority is to get the truth in us. A second priority is to get the truth out to others, and go as far and deep and wide as resources and open doors allow us. The lifestyle of Jesus Christ was to teach truth. That was a priority. And we have the wonderful opportunity and responsibility to take Jesus wherever we go. Principle number one involves teaching. Principle number two in verse 7 involves training. Training. The training of disciples is our commission from heaven. the training of what kind of disciples? Actively engaged disciples of Jesus. Jesus summoned the 12, verse 7, and he began to send them out in pairs. Let two words capture your thinking. Summoned, sent. Summoned, sent. Summoned, sent. We must be surrendered to the truth in our life mission. We must also be supportive of God's team. And we notice here the doubling aspect in the mission assignment. Now, you think if Jesus wanted to get his message out as fast and far as possible, that he would just send everybody out on their own. He's got 12 guys, send them in 12 different directions. He's going to cover 12 spots all at once. But he doesn't do that. He only sends out a group, a team of six, made up of two individuals. You would think he could have doubled. He could have got twice as much done. But there's a lot to learn as we watch Jesus Christ acting here. We are reminded that the Jesus mission is team oriented. This is not a place for solo performers, not a place to be of tyrants and terrorists. Jesus Christ emphasizes again and again and again the one another's of Scripture. And together, the body of Christ engaging the world with the message of Jesus Christ. The Jesus mission is team-oriented. He summoned them. That is a very intensive word. Have you ever been summoned to show up for jury duty? It's an invitation with an expectation. And typically, if you don't show up, they come looking for you. You're supposed to show up. You're given an assignment and responsibilities, and you're supposed to do certain things a certain way. That is the word that Christ uses here. Very intensive, as he calls each and every one of us to be disciples of Jesus who take his message elsewhere. He summoned and he sent in pairs. Again, we've touched on it just a little to kind of engage our thinking. But why pairs? Why a team? Why limit how far you can go right away? Christ understands us. He understands our needs. He understands my needs. He understands your needs. He understands human nature and the need and the value of mutual encouragement, the need and the value of mutual protection, the need and the value for mutual accountability and productivity. So instead of sending them out one by one, he sends them out two by twos. That speaks to the culture of the New Testament day, to a Jewish culture that valued firsthand testimony, that valued testimony that was supported, that was corroborated by someone else. By sending them out in pairs, they're not just lone rangers, lone wolves. We have more than one person speaking, supporting one another. And there's a way that it reminds us that Christianity is based on facts. It's based on the testimony of eyewitnesses. And you can open your Word of God this morning and you can read the account of eyewitnesses who walked with Jesus and lived with Jesus, who saw Jesus die and saw Jesus alive. There is a corroborating cultural aspect to his sending out in pairs. There is also a camaraderie factor, sending them out with a support team, with a partner. It is a reminder to these men and to us that it would not always be easy for them, that it will not always be easy for us living the Christian life, being a disciple of Jesus, being involved in the ministry of Jesus. It would not always be easy. And I need to continue to do what God has called me to do, and you the same. And when we have the value of a team and partners and mentors, mentees, it helps us to stay on point and to stay in the game. When you have a team, it doubles the joy, it divides the sorrows. The Jesus ministry is a team-oriented ministry. The Jesus ministry, the Jesus mission is also faith-oriented, team-oriented and faith-oriented. Notice in verse 8, Jesus instructed them, and he gave them a number of restrictions. Don't take this, don't take that thing. Only take the bare essentials. Why? Why won't he want them to have anything and everything they might need to be prepared in advance? That's often a very, really good idea. I think there, we see a depending nature in Jesus' assignment here. Not only a doing nature and a doubling nature, but a depending nature. He gives them a number of restrictions and directions, instructions on what to do next and how to do it. Now, this is not a pattern that is demanded to be repeated today. I've heard that, and that's not what the scriptures are saying here. Other places in scripture, God gives his disciples a different set of instructions. So this is not a you must always do it this way type of moment. It is instructions for this moment, in this time, for the disciples of Christ who've sat and watched Jesus do ministry, teach, preach, heal, and now they're being sent out on their own to represent him. We notice some of the restrictions. They couldn't provide for their own meals. They can't stuff food in their backpack. They couldn't beg others for help. They're going to need outside help, but not ask, but not to ask for it. They could not move up or sell out for better living conditions wherever they were at. This is an initial, this initial short-term missions trip. In this, they must completely rely on God. Completely rely on God for his resources and for the results. Why would he do that? Why does he sometimes do what he does in our life? I think there's to remove all doubt that God's in control, to remove all doubt that God has this, to remove all doubt that when things happen, they happen because God did them. Here we are, part of a church that's been here 125 years. There is one driving truth in all of this as we stand and sit here today, that we are only here because God did this. And all the credit needs to go to him, and all the glory needs to go to him. The Jesus mission is team-oriented. The Jesus mission is faith-oriented. And it calls us to have a lifestyle where we keep growing deep in our faith personally and keep growing wide in the family of God. And to give out wide by investing in the lives of others. And that leads us to principle number three. Two and three are somewhat tied together. We pick up again in verse 8. There's the teaching aspect, the training aspect. Let's not forget the time aspect. The time is dire and demands our focused confidence in the work of Jesus Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ, and calls us to a focused commitment. Verse 8, he instructed them, take nothing. And verse 11, any place that doesn't receive you, hit the road and on to the next place. Get going. Keep going. Don't stop. There's a closed door, move to the open door. You see, the time is dire. The time is short. We must be truth surrendered. We must be team supportive. We must be sensitive to the time. We only have one life to live for Christ, and we need to make it last. Not sit and wait and sit and wait. We must be time sensitive. The time is short. Death is sure, and eternity hangs in the balance for everyone that we come in contact with. And as you listen in this morning, eternity is hanging in the balance for you, and the only hope that you have is in a relationship with Jesus Christ that is rooted in surrender, that is rooted in coming to the cross and receiving the pardon of your sins. The mission of Jesus never shuts down. There was a group of wannabe climbers, mountain climbers. They were very enthusiastic and they got together. Their goal was to climb part of the Swiss or French Alps. So they were very wise. They hired some experienced guides who'd been there, done that. Hired them as their guides. They got together, had their training, and they listened to their final instructions. And the guides told the climbers, pack as lightly as possible, or you will never make it to the top. When you show up tomorrow, show up with the gear we've assigned you, but leave the extras behind, or you'll never make it to the top. On the day of the ascent, one climber showed up at the staging area, carrying all kinds of stuff, wasn't even fitting in his backpack. A heavy blanket, a case of wine, books, and bags of snacks. A camera with a huge tripod and telephoto lens. The guides, again, spoke truth into his life. They said, you must leave this all behind or you will never make it to the top. He refused to part with anything. Somehow managed to stuff it in his pack or hang it from his pack, hang it from his belt. Off they went, up the hill and into the Alps. He refused to part with anything at that moment. But as the day progressed, the climbing trail became littered with all of his costly and excess baggage. At the end of the day, guess where the mountain climber was? He was at the top. Mission success. But as they celebrated as a group, this one particular climber was honest. He said, I did not listen to the directions. I was very foolish. At the end of the day, I learned that I would never make it to the top if I continued to carry my excess baggage. He had success because he dumped his baggage, because he dumped what wasn't necessary for the mission. It was an expensive lesson. It was an exhausting lesson, but better to learn the lesson now than never. As we think of the mission of Jesus Christ, as we think and are reminded that we each have a mission that's to be centered around the truth, centered around the team, driven by the time, we ask ourselves, what unnecessary additions, excess baggage am I carrying in my life? It might be nice, but it's not necessary. In fact, it may be hindering me from mission success. Perhaps it's the guilt of our sin. We've never come to Christ. Admitted we're a sinner. Confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's really where the mission starts. But we can be carrying some other baggage, some hurt from others, some hurt that we brought to ourselves. When we've been hurt for others, take it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dump it at His feet. Trust God for His justice, His righteousness. Wrap your peace and contentment around the work of Christ in your life. If the lack of peace is due to something we've done to ourselves, something we've done for others, we take it to the cross. We confess our sin, repent of our sin, leave it at the feet of Jesus, and move forward with Jesus to the next step, to the next open door. So what's the excess baggage hanging in your life? Good question to think about, ponder, pray about in this next week ahead with the Lord Jesus Christ. The mission of Jesus never shuts down. So our mission never shuts down. We don't slow down. We don't stay down. If you're down, get up. If it's too slow, get rid of the extra baggage. Pick up the pace and walk with Jesus in the days ahead. Father, we thank You for Your love for us, that You have made so clear by the events of Calvary and the empty tomb. Because of that, we have hope for us. We have hope for others. We have a message to share with others. May we truly be a disciple of Jesus Christ. May we be getting the truth in us. And then may we get the truth out as far and wide with the means and the opportunities that You give us. Father, we thank You that we can regather as the Church of Jesus Christ. We pray for those who are still restricted, that You would encourage them, strengthen them, give them great wisdom. We pray for our political leaders, for wisdom from eternity itself, in how to do their jobs faithfully. We pray for our country that is torn with many issues at this time. May we bring the scriptures into those events. May they guide us and govern us and move us further up the mountain to where You would have us to be. May we find joy in our journey today and in the days ahead for the glory of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.